You are listening to SBS Radio Leaving Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I have with me in the studio Gail Marbo, who is here to speak about the 25th year and the anniversary since the landmark decision of the Marbo case. Gail, thank you so much for joining the program today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are on a big tour because it is the 25th year since the High Court decision. It's lovely to have you in the studio, and one of the first questions I would like to ask you is, you know, how you're feeling about your father's struggle on this 25th anniversary of the handing down of the High Court decision?
Well, like each year, it feels like yesterday that, you know, Dad was here and then gone. But it's 25 years. That's a long time. And, you know, you think about when he was fighting, it took him 15. So, you know, as time goes on, it doesn't soften the fact that, you know, he's not with us. Because to me, it feels like every year it feels like the same. That, you know, we wish he was here, but he can't be here. And, you know, for me, it's one of my sad occasions because he won without actually being here to, you know, reap the benefits of what he'd done. But his mind, he was a man who was a deep thinker, and he would challenge people. And I, you know, I wished that, you know, he was around so he could challenge the government now on, you know, the ideologies of what Mabo is.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot's changed in the time, and although we've seen, you know, a lot of big changes and decisions regarding native title, we're also at a point now where it's on hold, where they're actually looking at changing the amendments to native title and the Indigenous Land Use Agreement. So, what do you think your father would actually say around these decision-making processes currently in the Senate?
Well, one of his things is, you know, it's when he was fighting for the land that was his, that, you know, that no one could take away from him, that he knew that was his birthright. And that's what people now are still fighting for, is the entitlement of their birthright. To actually be proud enough to stand on their ground and say, this belongs to our people, and I am a descendant of those people. And all the government's doing is denying them that right. And you know what? It comes down to just, you know, not understanding the values of Indigenous Australians. So we, as Indigenous people, have to fight harder. We have to fight longer. But it's how we choose to do that. And how we choose to move on doing that. But it's, you know, I say to all those who are fighting, keep the faith, because it's within them. They're fighting their own Mabo battle.
Currently in the 50th anniversary of the 1967 referendum, it's a very interesting time that we're in with such big anniversaries, you know, in the time. And with the fight, that, I mean, your father was very active in the campaign for that referendum in 1967.
That's right.
Yeah, and so many others, you know, so many other elders and elders who have gone before us really made a stand. And what are the things that you're seeing now in relation to the time since that referendum and the decision to actually count Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as citizens? Could you say that you've seen some good come out of that?
Well, when the referendum came down, I was only two.
Yeah.
So from my third birthday, I was counted as an Australian citizen. And now, you know, all my children are considered Australian citizens. I have seven. So for them, it's that thing of like, well, it's like, it's just the norm now. But before, when people had to, you know, carry those cards to actually give them the right to actually do things, you know, that's really sad.
Yeah.
And then to be told what to do, when to do it, who to marry, who you're not going to marry, you know, then, you know, that to me is, you know, an era that shouldn't be relived.
And you are listening to SBS Radio Leaving Black. I'm Kirsten Lindsay, and I have with me in the studio Gail Marbo, who is here to speak about the 25th year and the anniversary since the landmark decision of the Marbo case. Marbo 2 case versus Queensland actually overturned the notion of terra nullius, but determined Commonwealth would be statutory law. So now we're looking at developing a model for constitutional recognition at the moment. How does your family support this process, or is there any, you know, things that you'd like to say about this process and what the future could hold regarding that constitutional recognition?
Well, for me, it's that thing of, like, for those who are actually out there and having their say, as long as they're actually understanding that where they're coming from, it's for the good of all, not just for, not to feather our own nest. Because a lot of people can stand up and say that they, you know, they're the ones who have been hand-selected by their community to step forward. But are they really taking their community into consideration when they're making those decisions? And that's what it comes down to, is actually understanding that it's not just you standing in that room. You have your community. You have your ancestors there with you. You have to honour those.
So a lot of people are also speaking out about how a lot of communities who have English as a second language might not have access to actually truly understanding what the referendum council are handing over as the recommendations. And from your own community, I know you're on the mainland, but also your community in the Torres Strait Islands. Are they able to access the information around the constitutional recognition?
But it's that thing of, like, they're able to, but it's also letting those who are giving the information give the right information. Because you can look at information and go, like, okay, this is what I think it is, but it mightn't be what it is. So you have to give them the truth and put your own thoughts and feelings aside and give them that, because they're the ones that have to make up their mind on what they need to do.
It's a conflicting time, because there is a lot of division in the communities, and I can see from what you're saying that you're hoping for people to be more unified, and that would that be something that your father would request too, that unity between the nations first?
Well, we have to unite as one people before we can, you know, step forth and take on another and actually make them accept us for who we are. And so it's that thing of, like, Step up, but do it for the right reasons.
Okay, so this week, with the anniversary, you've had a commemoration in Parliament, and a coin has been printed in to commemorate your father's and his team's success in the High Court decision. Do you want to talk about that and the printing of that coin and what it means?
So the imagery on the coin is my dad's face, and then the writing behind it also acknowledges the anniversary of the referendum, and it says yes, you know, vote for Aborigines. And it's that thing, and it was just that badge that said yes. And for me, that's really powerful, because now everybody will see it and it will be part of the Australian currency. But it will be a talking point at all tables. It's not just something you can just tuck away anymore, because someone will see it and go, what's this about? And so the dialogue will start and the conversation will start, and then that awareness will come back again, and it will creep into everyone's home. You know, whether they like it or not, it will be there.
Did your father ever talk about, or does your family talk about now, around treaty and treaty negotiations? Is that a discussion that comes up at all?
No, because Dad was a land rights man.
Yeah.
You know, he followed and he, you know, he knew the old fella Marika. He'd come and stay at our house. And, you know, and they'd have long conversations about, you know, the Bark Treaty that they did. And he'd want to know, you know, why did they do that? Why did they go down that path and everything? And, you know, he became an uncle to us. And so everyone else who came to our house was like uncle, but they were leaders in their own right. But those people who came to our house were ones who were fighting for land rights and the rights of Indigenous Australians. Because to them, I don't think the thought of a treaty or anything else came into their mind. It was they just wanted the rights to what was theirs.